Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
If you'd like, you can make your way over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse here in the beginning of the lesson, but we're going to stay primarily in 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll be looking at verse 16. The book of 1 Timothy is required reading for any man who preaches the gospel. And any man who preaches the gospel who does not make a regular return to 1 Timothy is depriving himself of a great deal of wisdom, great deal of learning from the Apostle Paul what he needs to be doing in his work. But with that said, 1 Timothy is written to all of us. We know that the original letter was likely, though addressed to Timothy, more of an open letter that would have been expected reading for people in this area where Timothy is preaching. And for the past 2,000 years, churches have opened it, studied it together, and I hope realized that the wisdom within this book is for everyone. And so this morning, I want us to focus in particular on what Paul says about teaching, or your translation may say doctrine, or if your translation is like mine, it may use both words rather interchangeably. To talk about the importance of that, but also to understand that doctrine or teaching can never stand by itself. That doctrine is always associated with what comes in living it within our lives. And so when we look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, that's the point the apostle is making to Timothy when he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Isn't it interesting that he starts this out with a watch on yourself? In other words, Timothy, though you're a preacher, though you're commissioned to bring this message, you need to make sure you're living what you're teaching. You need to make sure you're living what I'm instructing you in. And so this morning, I want us to see the seriousness of that, of keeping a close watch on those things, because as the apostle says, they're interconnected and they're going to have an impact not only on our faith, but potentially the faith of others. So let's begin then with that idea that he explores of keeping a close watch on your teaching. Now, to introduce this idea, let's get a feel for what we find in other places in 1 Timothy about this. In fact, the letter pretty much leads off with this warning about those who aren't keeping a watch on their teaching. And so, just right after the preliminary introduction, the apostle says in verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. So here is this young man, this young preacher, who's been given a tremendous responsibility to go into this area and to stand face to face with those who are teaching error and to tell them that a change must be made, not to teach that different doctrine. Because those who are teaching such things are not keeping a watch. Let's go a little bit further. As we look down to verses 9 and 10, still in chapter 1, the apostle says, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers. And after that list, let's focus on this last statement, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. This is one of Paul's vice lists, not uncommon in his writings. where he says, let me just give you a rapid-fire succession of the kinds of things that you need to avoid. But yet as he comes to the end of it, he says, this is not exhaustive. Anything that is contrary, and we've made the point before that that word sound is the same word as healthy, where we get our word hygiene. And so here we've got this healthy doctrine that's totally being ignored by these false teachers. And as a result, all of this wickedness is being committed. So then the apostle then gives an admonition. As he's talking about this warning that we've just looked at, he says you need to understand that the necessity of healthy teaching is primary because it's going to help bring people to the faith. And so when we put that word "the" in front of faith, it's like the whole idea of the gospel message. Here is what it means to be like Christ. Here's what it means to be a Christian. And he says, when you understand that healthy teaching, you're not only going to help yourself come to the faith, but it's going to bring others there as well. But what is that faith? What is that healthy teaching that's going to bring us to understand it? Well, here's what it is. When we talk about the healthy teaching that brings us to become like Jesus, to be a member of His family, it's a compilation of what we find throughout the Bible. Certainly in command, but also within examples that are given, the biographies that are given to us within the Word, the wise sayings that we have, the parables of Jesus, all of these things are fitting together. And I make that point because many times, if we're not careful, we tend to very narrowly focus on doctrine as just the commands, just the things where God is saying, do this or don't do this. And we'll talk about that in a minute, of the danger in that. Because all of this is showing us what it means to be like Jesus. So he says to Timothy, you need to understand this for yourself. You need to understand this for those who hear the message, because what that's going to do is it's going to bring you to what he calls the fullness of Christ. In other words, the maturity that we need to become like our Savior. So let's think about that idea for a minute. If you will, look over to chapter 6 just for a minute. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. Now I want you to go down with me to verse 3, to the statement that he makes here, where he says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words or the healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness. So one of the points that the apostle is going to make to him here is that when you are teaching healthy words of Jesus or healthy doctrine, that's how you become godly. The whole goal that we have in maturity is to become like Jesus, to become like the Godhead. And so the apostle says, here's how that's done. It's through these healthy words. And if you go the other direction, obviously what that's going to do is to take you away from that maturity. Again, let's stay here in chapter 6. Go down to verse 20, where he says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So here's someone, these false teachers. And we don't know for sure what they were teaching. There's different hints and clues within the letter. But nonetheless, the apostle says, they're just speaking foolishness. And he uses some of his typical words here of babble and contradicting language. And he says, when that is the standard, what that's going to do is to lead someone far away from this idea of Christ's likeness, far away from what produces godliness. And ultimately what that does is it's going to bring shame on the name of God. Back up to verse 1 of chapter 6. And he says, let all who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. And then the phrase I want us to see, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Let's not limit that name just to the term Yahweh or Jesus. Certainly that's a big part of it. But when you talk about the name of God, you're talking about everything that is under His authority, everything He teaches, everything He expects. And so Timothy is told here that when you are honoring God through this appreciation and love of healthy teaching, what you're doing is you're honoring the name. You're taking that name with you. But if you're going to this false knowledge, what you're doing is you're shaming the name of God. Okay, so let's now focus it down a little bit further. I think it's something like 8 times we have an admonition here about the doctrine. We want to narrow that down now to just what we find in chapter 4. And so we started out in verse 16. We're going to back up a bit now. And we're going to look at 4 times within this chapter, Paul is telling Timothy something about this healthy teaching. First thing is he says, you need to know where the opposite of healthy teaching comes from. Look at verse 1. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. Now note this, by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. That is very strong language. And so the apostle, in trying to make the point of the danger that's found in unhealthy teaching, says, if you are looking to anything that is not the Word, that is not the doctrine given by God, what you're doing is you're giving yourself over to non-Christ forces. And the strong language he uses here is you're going to the other side. What you're doing is promoting the doctrine of demons. So here are these false teachers running amok in Ephesus, teaching things that were babble and contrary to true doctrine. And Paul says they're getting it from those forces that are against Jesus Christ. That's where it's coming from. And so in understanding that, we understand that what they're doing is they're trying to take the pure gospel and make it totally something that it's not. Look down to verse 3. Here's some of the results. They forbid marriage, require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I find that passage interesting because oftentimes, when we talk about false teaching, we talk about the removal of responsibilities. And that's a big part of it. So in our current frame, we may say false teaching is where someone says you really don't have to do this or this. But I want you to note that an equal part of it is making the gospel harder than it is, of putting additional requirements that God did not make. That's equally as wrong. And there is a danger, I'm afraid of times, of trying to make ourselves feel a little more holy or a little more godly by making the doctrine harder than what God has given to us. God says, either way, you leave all that behind because anything that detracts or anything that adds is not from me. Let's look at the second one. He says you know where false teaching comes from. He also says you need to know where good teaching is found. Look at verse 6. He says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. So what is going to constitute good teaching? It's teaching those pure words of faith that are given to us. That idea that Paul uses where he says being trained in the words of the faith is a word very similar to nourishment. So that begins to trigger a whole lot of passages, doesn't it? To think about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, where you think about Jesus as the bread of life, all these different kinds of nourishment symbols. Where the apostle is saying, when you put the good word before your audience, what you're doing is you're feeding them, you're providing for them exactly what's going to promote good health. So leave those things of the demons behind, come to that was given by Jesus Christ, present this message, and what you're going to do then is to train people and yourself in those good words and that good doctrine. As we go down to verse 13, he then says, when you do that, if you devote yourself to that, you're going to be a good servant. Let's read it together. Verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. As a gospel preacher, Timothy, make sure you're not leaving the Holy Scripture behind. What a danger that is for so many men to begin to move toward their own way of thinking away from the Scripture. Paul says, don't do that. Remain a good servant. But what's really fascinating here in his words is the contrast that we give. You look back to verse 1, he says, those who are against Christ have devoted themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. The good servant has devoted himself to the good word of Jesus Christ. And of course, you take those three, and then we find in verse 16, where we started this discussion, that you're going to find a devoted servant who is keeping watch over himself as well as those who teach. So here housed within this very small part of the letter, he's saying, know where the false teaching comes from, know where the true teaching comes from, devote yourself to that good teaching, and then keep a watch on what you say and who you are. Now, with all those admonitions, here's what Paul is telling the people of God, regardless of what era you live. He says, stay true. Stay true to what you know. Stay true to the faith, and the way you do that is your devotion to this healthy teaching. And then he also says, understand that there are forces at work that are trying to take you away from that. There has always been a presence of those who are seeking to diminish the ways of Jesus Christ. That hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And so the apostle is saying, understand that those forces are at work. Now, I'm going to add one warning here with that. In our zeal to make sure that we are not letting those forces destroy us, the stolen line, I don't know who originated it, but I sure do like it. We don't pull the wool off every sheep looking for a wolf. Sometimes, if we're not awfully careful in our zeal for purity, when someone disagrees, we go after them with the same ferocity we might go after a full-fledged false teacher. That's not acceptable. For our fellow Christians, there's a place for discussion. There's a place for coming to the table and exchanging ideas. However, what the apostle is saying is, you learn to discern the true teaching from the false teaching. You learn that what the Lord says is right, and when you hear something that contradicts that, you make sure you heard it correctly first. You have a discussion about it, but if it's not within the Holy Word, you leave it aside. I think all of us know this. I suspect everyone in the room is in agreement with what we've talked about thus far and would agree that this salvation that we so want is dependent on our seriousness toward listening to those good, healthy words. Maybe the part that most of us find a little more challenging is when he says, keep a watch on your life. That as you're looking within these words to understand that this has a major impact on you, on how you live. And so the two ideas we must understand are totally interconnected. When you keep a watch on yourself and a watch on your teaching, those two ideas cannot be unjoined. Think about it from this aspect of what God is wanting to do to us. God has said, I created humanity for such an amazing, special relationship with me. And you pretty much blew it. But I want you back. And so when we read these healthy words of doctrine, when we read the healthy words of Jesus Christ, what we're reading is God's plan to take us and to remold us and to remake us into that workmanship He's always desired. So how is it God is going to communicate that to us? It's through this Word. He's saying, this is how I'm going to make you for the human I've always wanted you to be. That comes out here in the text that we're looking at this morning in a verse that we read just a minute ago. If you look back to verse 1 of chapter 6, this is addressed to slaves. This is what Timothy is to teach them. He says, let all those who are under a yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Often when we think about slaves, our minds go immediately to the 1800s in the United States, and that's certainly an aspect of it. That was not so much the case in the first century. A slave could be anyone from a field hand to someone who you put your children in their care. That had quite a range. But I'm sure in all of that, where slavery was just considered an everyday part of life and you depended on slaves, that there was a lot of resentment that here's someone who has taken my freedom away from me. Whether it's that terrible job or whether maybe I've got a pretty good gig in the master's house, I don't have my freedom. And I suspect it would be very easy to be reproachful and to speak ill of a master. And yet here the apostle says, now, slaves, talking to Christian slaves, what you need to do is consider your own master worthy of honor. In other words, whether you're standing in front of him, behind him, talking to someone at the market, you always say what's right and what's good. And what's the reason for that? So that God can be glorified. In other words, he says to the slave, keep a watch on your life. Keep a watch on that aspect that would be such a temptation to go to the forces of evil, to speak ill, to gossip, to run him down, maybe even plan harm against him. Leave all that behind. So that the name of God can be honored. And so, the point that we're seeing is that teaching directs our attitude. Teaching directs our behavior. And if I don't understand that, the apostle says you're putting yourself in very grave danger. If I don't understand that this teaching, this pure doctrine, is to mold my life, I'm putting myself in jeopardy. So we see then that whenever there is a moral failure, it always begins with a failure to watch our teaching. Let me repeat that. Whenever there is a moral failure, it always begins with a failure to watch our teaching, because whether by direct statement or principle of application, whatever it is we're facing, God has dealt with it. And God has said how to handle it. And when I look away from that, that's when my life begins to go off course. What happens is that we trade our godliness for the doctrine of demons. We said at the beginning, this is a book required reading for gospel preachers. I think about how many men have fallen who preach the gospel, but yet got themselves into such horrible situations. Of course, we think about those of us who are a little older over the past 40 years, how many have risen and fallen in that on a national and international scene. I lay all that aside just to think about men I've known personally who have made very poor decisions in their lives, some of them ending up on the wrong side of the law, some of them ending up in prison. Here's where it begins. That here is a man who has taken the responsibility to say, I'm going to teach those ways of God, but yet in his own teaching, he never turns it and applies it to himself, and that causes the problem. Because what's happened is we've reversed. We've put ourselves as the authority, and we put Jesus in submission to our will. And whenever that happens, bad things are going to result. So, preachers may be one thing, but for all of us, we understand it's the same. That when we're having these situations in our lives where we're falling to sin, it's because we're ignoring that good message. Now, let me go back to a point I made earlier. If we ever turn doctrine just into this list of do's and don'ts, we're setting ourselves up for failure because we're almost taking the Bible and treating it like a rule book, like some instruction manual. That's not what the Bible is, though there are rules and many instructions. What this is wisdom. What this is telling us not only what to believe, but how to practice it. And if I try to just minimize it down to this handful of different doctrines, I do this, I don't do this, and I don't look at the Word in its entirety, I'm missing the healthy teaching. And if I'm missing that healthy teaching, then there's going to be problems. When I ignore it, I do damage to myself. But Paul also says to Timothy, you can also damage others. That's why you need to keep a watch. I thought about, just right off the bat with this point, Jesus' discussion with the Pharisees. Actually, his discussion about the Pharisees. When he said, observe and do whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but they don't practice. So here's a group that knows the healthy words. They know the doctrine and they teach it correctly, but they don't practice it. And I tell you, by the severity of Jesus' language as he talked about the Pharisees, we undoubtedly can see the harm that he knew they were committing, not only in themselves but others. But we don't have to look to them, we need to look at ourselves. When we think about knowing the doctrine but not practicing the doctrine, this is where hypocrisy begins. It's interesting. Some of the absolute best Bible students I have known in my life have been some of the meanest, angriest people I've ever come across. To know the Word, but to see no application for self, is not only a danger for us, but it's a danger in showing that hypocrisy. To know the Word, but to never practice love and mercy, is to show the world, I really don't believe what I'm telling you to believe. I think about as well how many of us have problems of teaching temperance, but yet when it comes to our personal lives, we're not controlling what we put in our bodies as far as how much. We're not controlling the kind of things we're putting into our bodies that are going to alter our behavior and our moods. And one, I think we really have to consider, we're going to deal a little bit more with this one tonight. It's adding something to the cart. Where we get a thrill. And we get a rush from buying. I suspect a lot of our online retailers have studied Las Vegas, don't you? They've understood that thrill that you get from pressing a button and seeing what's going to result from it. So I teach and I say, we've got to be temperate. We've got to be self-controlled. Yet nothing in my life is showing that. What does that mean for me? It means I'm being a whole lot like those false teachers. I may not be teaching asceticism. I may not be teaching forbidding marriage. But what I'm teaching by my example is I don't really appreciate what it is that God has told me I need to do. And the danger, the caution there is, they were not only failing themselves, they were failing others. You ever wondered what Timothy felt like after he read this letter the first time? I think it would have been a terrifying thing to think, okay, this is what I'm to do. But I feel like he took that responsibility, don't you? But I don't want to leave it with this negative. Though Paul deals with that, I want us to understand that ultimately what the apostle is saying is that when you keep a watch on your life and you keep a watch on your doctrine and you make sure that what you teach, you're practicing, that what you're doing is you're showing your love of salvation. That's what it's all about. That here is this word that God has given us to show us the way back to Him, and we've taken it, and we've consumed it, and we've appreciated it, and we've lived it. Because we want to be with Him, and we want to be like Him. And we do not consider this in any way burdensome, but much more we consider it preparatory. That through all of this good, healthy teaching, God is saying, this is the kind of people I want to live with forever. These are the people that I have created you to be. And when I appreciate that by the grace and mercy of God, He has welcomed me into the family, I am going to treat this with absolute, ultimate respect and to live it to the very best of my ability. As we close, I want to go back to one thought back in verse 16 of chapter 4. Because what the apostle says is, I want you to persist in this. To understand what this means for you eternally. To understand what this means for your hearers eternally. I want you to persist. And if we wanted to get more of a contemporary translation for that, what he's saying is, stay on top of this. That's what that word comes from. It's what we would say is, you don't let this get the best of you. Stay on top of it. You don't allow the demonic teaching to become your way of thinking. You don't allow the practice of evil to become something you feel is okay. No, not at all. The way I handle that is I never minimize my study of the holy teaching. I never treat this as anything less than the divinely revealed mind of God. A God who is showing me who He is, who I can be. And so I love it, and I value it, and I practice it. Because teaching and life are never separated. Here's what we can understand. When we appreciate the good teaching of the Word, when we practice it, what that means is that when I live the truth, godliness is going to result from that. That when this is my life, God is my life. And I assure you that if we take that as our mindset, it will be worth it. Why is Paul so concerned about this? Why is he concerned about Timothy? Why is he concerned about the Ephesians? Why is he concerned about us? He wants us at the throne of God together. And when I dedicate my life to His Word, and I live that Word, God is going to say, welcome home. And I hope we all hear that. Thank you for your good attention this morning. For some, this may be a hard message because you know the truth. You know what God wants, and I think deep down you know what you want. And it's like there's this disconnect somehow. And maybe for whatever reason you've put off becoming a Christian, God says, come to me today. You're not in this on your own. I'm going to help you. I've given you the word to guide you. I hope that whatever doubts you may have, you can put those aside. Let God answer them for you. And come into this family and begin your journey of learning that healthy word, being what God wants you to be. All of us fail at that. There's many times, many, many times, I think about in my own life where I have to go to God and confess my failure to Him, ask for His mercy, give me an opportunity to try again, but yet God has said that's exactly what He'll do. So don't let the fear of failure keep you from beginning the race. And don't let the fear of failure make you stop midway through the race. Realize who it is you serve and realize how much He loves you and give your life to Him. If you need to respond to His invitation, you can come now as we stand and sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.